Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Today we have the opportunity to speak to an incredible woman. She's an expert in law, politics, and business, and she's someone that Women Investing in Women has been working with for quite some time, who has centered her life around investing in women and girls. Thank you, and welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are speaking here today with Ms. Candace Klein from San Diego, California. How are you doing today, Candace?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
It's an absolute pleasure. We're so excited to have you on the show. And just to start out, if you wouldn't mind giving us your background story.
Sure. So I am an attorney by trade, and so practiced law for a number of years representing banks and securities law, and quickly realized in 2008 or so, as the economy fell apart, that banks were not they were no longer investing in startups and small businesses. And so I got quite frustrated with that and started my first business in 2010, which was called Bad Girl Ventures. Bad Girl Ventures is still successful today and is a microfinance company that invests in women-owned businesses in a classroom setting. And so we started to environment and make loans to one another under the table, which was great. And so I thought, what if I could create a technology platform that could allow small businesses to raise money from friends, family, customers, and neighbors, even if banks won't lend? And so I started my second company in 2011. And there's a long story around that, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Sold that company end of last year and moved out to San Diego, California in December, and have become an owner and chief strategy officer with a new peer-to-peer lending platform called DealStruck. And my passion around all of these businesses and everything I've done in my professional career has been supporting small business, and particularly supporting women-owned businesses.
Great. And you mentioned that you had a background in law. So how have those skills helped you in your involvements?
I think that it's funny, when I first started going to law school, I had friends who were engineers and scientists who said, you need to go to law school because you don't think logically enough. And so I think that the first thing that my law degree has really helped with is understanding both sides of every issue, of every policy, of every situation. That helped me when I was drafting a piece of legislation that eventually became the Jobs Act. That law degree was extremely helpful. And quite honestly, my background when I was practicing law was in working with companies like Prosper Marketplace and other peer-to-peer lending platforms. And I learned a lot about the business model as a lawyer. And then that critical thinking or ability to kind of fight for my client or advocate, but also understand both sides of the issue, has been very helpful in owning a business.
Definitely. Those are all very, very helpful skills. And what motivated you to want to start crowdfunding platforms? You had a background in law. You gained the skills through that area. But what made you want to almost become an entrepreneur in starting your own company in crowdfunding?
Well, it's funny because the first reporter who ever did a story around my businesses asked me, so when did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur? And I told her, I don't. I don't consider myself an entrepreneur. This is years ago. I said, I consider myself a leader of social causes. And at the time, that was because I was running Bad Girl Ventures, which is a nonprofit microfinance company. But one of the things that I noticed at BGV was that the women that we were serving, the women that we were educating, had very strong social networks. Women particularly are quite adept at building an ecosystem of support around themselves. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if we could use a Kickstarter-like model to allow these women that are going through my program, along with all other small businesses, to utilize that support network that they've spent years creating and building to help them raise the money that they need or the capital they need to keep their business operations going. And so, I was inspired by Kickstarter and Indiegogo. I was inspired by Lending Club and Prosper Marketplace in 2008 and what they were trying to do in democratizing access to capital. And I thought, what if I could just combine the crowdfunding of Kickstarter with the idea of raising loan capital for small businesses. And that's how the idea really got started.
We love it. Yeah. And like you mentioned, social networks are something that women excel in, and absolutely bringing in that networking aspect into any different company is really important. We always talk about the importance of networking on this show. So that's very important as well. I'd love to go now to Bad Girl Ventures. And the first question I have about this is, why the name Bad Girl Ventures? Why would you use bad in the name?
Sure. So when I first started the company, it was based on a book that I had read in college, which was called The Bad Girl's Guide to Getting What You Want, which was really more of a silly book than anything, but it taught women how to say no, how to be more aggressive, and work and life and love. And I was giving a speech, which was like a TEDx-style speech on this book and teaching the women in the audience, you know, how to be a bad girl. But at the very end of that speech, I said, many of you are saying, Candace, you know, I wish that I could be a bad girl like what you just talked through, but my boss will never let me get away with that in my workplace. I said, if that's you, you're already smarter than your boss. Quit your job and start your own business, and I'll help you. And so that night I launched Bad Girl Ventures as a microfinance company to invest in women. And it's interesting because my the law firm I was working for immediately afterwards said, you need to change the name. We don't want to be associated with Bad Girl.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I said, Bad Girl is a very special brand. A bad girl is a woman who is bold and brave, willing to take risks, fight for what she believes in, and think outside the lines. Not every woman is cut out to be a successful entrepreneur. Not every woman is a bad girl. And, you know, and for me, Bad Girl Ventures and that brand attracted the type of women who I thought had the fire in the belly enough to be successful in their business endeavors.
Right. That's great. And we talked to a bunch of entrepreneurs as well, and they all seem to have that passion as well. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, that's evident that you do have passion for something. So I think that's a really original name, and I'm glad you kept with it.
Oh, well, thank you.
And how exactly does it work? I know that there's there are different ideas that go along with it. Like there's a classroom aspect of it, correct?
Sure, yeah. So Bad Girl Ventures is now run by my first ever intern at the company, Corey Druschel. She's the CEO of the company now. And so you should have her on the show someday. But Bad Girl Ventures is it's first a school. So it's a 9-week training program that teaches women-owned businesses how to do everything from improved personal credit to drafting the business plan to understanding your market and how to market to it, to legal structuring, to accounting from startup to cash flow. And every week, there's homework due after the classroom setting. And so by the time these women graduate from our program, they've completed a business plan, a marketing plan, an operating budget, financial statements, and an SBA loan application. So we like to say that they're very nicely packaged with a hot pink bow to walk into any bank and get a loan.
Great.
And so that's the first piece of Bad Girl Ventures. The second piece is that as a nonprofit organization, BGV has raised capital to make loans directly to these women. So BGV, as you know, as women graduate from the program, will make at least one loan to a woman in every single class. And there are classes now in several cities and several classes a year. And so each time there's a graduation from at least one woman, and now many times 4, 5, 6 women receive loans directly from Bad Girl Ventures. And these are loans ranging from $1,500 to $25,000, depending on what the woman needs. And they cap out at 6%. So these are very low interest loans that are meant to kickstart this woman's business's success.
Interesting. So they create the business plan, and just really quick for a last question, you're encouraging them to take loans, right? You're not encouraging them to practice pitches and present in front of an investor?
So pitching is actually not a huge piece of the program. We want to make sure that they're building a viable business, one that has cash flow and that will operate successfully. Now, there is a very small piece of the program that is on how to speak to investors. And we tell the women that come through our program that they need to understand what their financing options are and then choose the correct financing option for their type of business.
Okay.
And so in many instances, the women who are coming through our program are retailers. They have some type of retail operation. They're cash flowing business. So equity investors don't make sense mm-hmm. for those types of businesses.
Okay.
However, we do have tech companies that come through, and we'll also connect them with angels and with VCs.
Okay, that's great to know. For right now, we are going to go to a break. Remember to keep in touch with us at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and before we went to the break, we were talking with Candace Klein, who was giving us her background in law and how she started a few crowdfunding platforms, including Bad Girl Ventures. And we're going to now switch to another crowdfunding platform that you created, Candace, called SomoLend. So would you mind explaining what SomoLend is?
Sure, sure. So SomoLend was launched in 2011, a year after I launched Bad Girl Ventures. And SomoLend, the name stands for Social Mobile Local Lending. And the purpose of it was really born out of Bad Girl Ventures. As I mentioned, BGV, it was a classroom setting. And what I watched in the classroom setting with the women who were going through our program was that they started making loans to one another. They started securing loans from their faculty members, their advisors, their mentors. And I thought, that's great, but that's never going to help these women become bankable down the road because these are under-the-table loans.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I could create a technology platform that could teach small business owners how to raise loan capital from their friends, family, customers, and neighbors, track the repayment of those loans, aggregate them so that the borrower only has to make one monthly payment like they would to a bank, even if they raise money from 200 different people. And then finally, track the repayment of those loans as a new data point to help them become bankable down the road. And so that's why I started SomoLend.
Interesting. And the type of lending that you described, is that peer-to-peer lending?
Yes. So SimoLend was intended to be the truest form of peer-to-peer lending, a transparent platform where small business owners could put forward their request for capital and raise that capital from the people that already know and love them, from their customers and their community. Now, the beauty of SimoLend was that there were also banks and institutional lenders lending alongside the crowd or the peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so in many instances, if a small business owner could raise 30% of their goal from their friends and family, there was quite often a bank or an institutional lender who would fill in the rest of the capital needed.
Okay, so are you trying to attract average people in lending, or are you also attracting a few venture capitals and angel investors?
So the purpose of SimoLend was really to attract anyone who had an interest in that business and creating an ecosystem of support around the entrepreneur. So we were pretty agnostic as to who we wanted to come onto our platform. We didn't target anyone. What I can tell you, though, is that the majority of the investors on our platform were women, interestingly enough,
mm-hmm.
Women between the ages of 30 and 50, were making somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 a year. So these were not, you know, high net worth individuals. But they were individuals who knew this business well because they frequented the business of the customer. Now, okay. We also had accredited investors, angel investors, banks, and institutions, so funds, lending on our platform. But that was not our original target. Our original target was just to create a place where small businesses could go to raise money from the people they already knew and loved.
Okay, great. And going along with the idea of crowdfunding, for our listeners out there, do you mind explaining what exactly crowdfunding is?
Sure. So crowdfunding in its purest definition is when a person or a business chooses to raise some amount of money by posting their request for money onto an online platform and securing that money from the crowd. That could be people that they already know. It could be people that they don't know, but who have an interest in their product or service. The purpose of crowdfunding is to secure small amounts of money from a large population of people.
Okay. And do you see that there are differences between men and women seeking funding in this manner through crowdfunding? I know that Bad Girl Ventures and SimoLend, you attracted more women, but have you seen that men ask for funding a little bit differently, or how they go about that?
Yeah, so I'll first talk about the people who are raising the money and how they're different, and then I'll talk about the people who invest the money and how they're different.
Okay.
So the difference between men and women in their fundraise, particularly in crowdfunding, but in fundraising across the board, is that the women are much more focused on their mission, and their product, and their customer. Men are more focused on their financials, return on investment, and numbers.
Interesting.
And while the mission and the story and the customer is extremely important, investors want to see that you know how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why I believe that women now represent 51% of all privately held companies in the United States, yet have access to less than 3% of venture capital,
wow.
less than 5% of bank capital, because we don't speak the numbers. Now, on the investor side, men and women are also different. So women, female investors, whether they're angel investors or other, are looking to invest in something that they believe in and someone that they trust. They're investing in the entrepreneur, and they're not looking for significant returns for the most part. Now, there are always exceptions. Men, on the other hand, are investing in a business that they can see will bring them a strong return on investment, or internal rate of return, IRR.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is far less common in female investors than in their male counterparts.
Okay. That's really interesting how they take different approaches like that. And that's something that I picked up
right.
on actually in the San Diego Summit, that how the women were explaining their business as well. I remember that some of the judges were explaining, like, you need to include more numbers in your presentation, your pitch to different investors. So that is very interesting. And I'd like to move on to DealStruck. This is the project that you're working on now. So what is the aim and goal mm-hmm. of DealStruck? What is it?
So DealStruck is I guess, an evolution from SomaLens. So SomaLens was sold to an investor or to a bank at the end of last year. And I joined the DealStruck team in December of last year as the chief strategy officer and became an owner in the company. And DealStruck started in a very similar manner to SomaLens. So they were a matchmaker between borrowers and lenders, and the borrowers were all small business owners. DealStruck, however, has gone a slightly different path. So DealStruck is a hybrid company between being a direct lender and a peer-to-peer lender.
Okay.
What that means is we allow small businesses to apply for funding on our platform. We package their loan requests for them. We underwrite them for risk. We price their deal, and then we fund them up front. Now, the way that peer-to-peer lending comes into play is that we actually, once we've invested in our deals, we allow for the crowd to co-invest with us after the fact. There's a couple of real benefits for the borrower. The first is that they get their money very fast. So as soon as the borrower applies, they can get their funding within 2 to 4 business days rather than waiting for the crowd to invest. Mm-hmm. The benefit for the crowd is that they're not investing blindly in a deal. DealStruck, as a lender, has already taken the brunt of the risk. We've already funded the deal, and if the crowd chooses not to invest, we'll stay the sole investor in that deal. And so our crowd feels much more comfortable putting their money forward in a deal, knowing that they're investing alongside our team.
That's really interesting. You build that trust, and that's very important as well. And are you only for female-run businesses with DealStruck?
No, so DealStruck is for all small business owners. In fact, our demographics are split about 50-50 on both the business owners being male and female and on the investor base being male and female. So this is for everyone. And right now we are allowing investment in, we're active in 41 states. We should be in 50 states by the end of the year. But this is for all small business owners.
That's very exciting. And the way that DealStruck works, does it enable business owners to bypass banks for loans?
So business owners can come to DealStruck, and in many instances, if a borrower is going to be eligible for a bank loan, we know that because our underwriters come from banks. That's where they worked before they came to our team.
Right.
And so if a borrower is able to get a bank loan, we'll send them to the bank. In most instances, however, about 92% of the time, small business borrowers are not eligible for bank financing, and in many instances, they have to go then to the payday lenders, to the very high-cost daily debit payment lenders. DealStruck operates right in the middle. Our goal is to graduate small business borrowers into consecutively healthier products over time until they're able to get into a banking relationship, which we think is the best situation for them. So we provide them with different types of loans at consecutively better interest rates to graduate them into healthier products over time.
Great. That's awesome. And when we get back from our next break, we will go on a little bit more about DealStruck and then your involvement in the Jobs Act. But right now, we will take a break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you're listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. Remember to keep the conversation going at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Stay tuned.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our discussion with Candace Klein. And before we got to the break, we were talking about DealStruck. And Candace, I'd love to continue that conversation going. How many loans have been funded so far through DealStruck?
So DealStruck has only been around or operating for about 10 months now. So we're a startup ourselves. But we announced actually in early July that we had already made 100 loans in our first 6 months or so of operation, and we've easily surpassed that by now. We haven't made announcements as to the exact number, but I can tell you that you know that number is growing very quickly.
Wow.
We're expecting to lend, you know, about $30 to $40 million this year.
Oh, great. Now I want to bring up a point about DealStruck. It's clearly very successful very quickly, but was a platform like DealStruck allowed before, a few years ago? Was something like this allowed to exist?
Well, so it's yes and no. Lenders have been around for all of time. And DealStruck is a licensed lender. But I think what you're asking about, peer-to-peer lending, and was that always around or was that always legal, that piece of the business?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is no. So in 2006, Lending Club and Prosper both started as peer-to-peer lending companies for consumer loans, and were both shut down by the Securities and Exchange Commission because it was illegal for everyday people like me and you to invest our money online in a business and expect a return on investment. As soon as you receive a return, that makes whatever you just invested in a security. And securities were only allowed to be sold to accredited investors who make more than $200,000 a year. Or if you wanted to invest your money as an everyday person, you had to go through an investment advisor or a bank. So that was not legal for many, many years up until 2012.
Right, and it made it difficult for businesses to get that funding, correct? Because there were so many different hoops to jump through. And that must have been the motivation as to why you wanted to get involved with the Jobs Act, correct?
Sure. So what happened was in 1933 and 1934, and I'm sorry to give a bit of a history lesson, but the Securities and Exchange Commission was created in 1933 to protect us from ourselves because everyday people were losing their life savings land purveyors in Oklahoma or to the gold rush because there were scam artists all over the place. And so the government created the SEC to protect us from ourselves. We didn't waste our money. And that worked when banks were a good place to invest your money, or the stock market was, and that worked when banks were actually lending. But starting in 2008, the banks stopped lending. And so that we saw a huge freeze in growth and business opportunities because there was just no money to give to those businesses because the banks weren't lending it.
Mm-hmm.
So that system that was created in 1933 no longer worked in 2008, and there was a need for something new. That's why I got involved in 2010 in helping to draft the bill that eventually became the Jobs Act.
Okay, great. And the banks were struggling because of the recession that hit, correct? That's why they weren't able to give out money?
Well, the banks were struggling. Yeah, so you had the recession, you had the mortgage crisis where the banks lost a lot of money and people began losing their homes. And then you had the Dodd-Frank Act, which was a piece of legislation that highly regulated banks. So banks were not incentivized to lend to small businesses anymore because there was so much regulation. I don't blame the banks. I don't think the banks are bad. They just, it didn't make business sense for them to lend to small businesses anymore because there was so much regulation around that space.
Right.
And so they just stopped.
Right. Now moving on to the Jobs Act. That stands for Jumpstart Our Business Startups. So what is that act and who benefits from it?
Sure. So the Jobs Act started as the Entrepreneurs Access to Capital Act, which was a bill that was drafted by Congressman Patrick McHenry. And the purpose of the original bill, which is still the purpose of the Jobs Act, was to increase access to capital for entrepreneurs, for startups, and for existing businesses by allowing everyday people like me and you to invest small amounts of money and to get a return on our investment. So the purpose of the Jobs Act was to create a new exemption for everyday people to be able to invest their money in securities.
Okay, and how did you get the opportunity to be a part of writing a bill of this act?
Well, because of some of the work that I had done with Prosper Marketplace and in my legal life, I was contacted by the GAO after the Dodd-Frank Act came to be law. And peer-to-peer lending was just listed as a footnote in that first bill. And my friends who I went to law school with worked for the General Administrative Offices in Washington, D.C. and said, can you help us draft an opinion on peer-to-peer lending? So I did. I worked with them on that opinion. And as a result of that, I was contacted by Congressman McHenry to help in the drafting of his bill. And so I got involved very early on with Congressman McHenry and about four other entrepreneurs. All of us were under the age of 40.
Wow.
We were all young professional entrepreneurs and, you know, scrappy and, you know, writing this bill together with our one congressman.
And what was your experience in writing this legislation?
Well, it was pretty amazing. I think the Jobs Act is a beautiful example of being an American because as a young woman at the ripe old age of 30, I think, I was able to go to my congressman, to suggest a bill, and that bill was then passed out of the House, was sent to the Senate. I got to work with Senator Merkley on doing changes to his version of the bill, and I watched that bill that I helped to write get passed into and become a law in 6 months. That never happened.
Right.
And I think it's so cool that the Jobs Act was actually created by the entrepreneurs it was intended to serve.
That's so interesting. And I just want to ask you, why did you want to take part in writing a bill? I mean, as we all know, politics is very risky business, and you hear a lot about on the news that, it's a little bit like a piranha tank, isn't it? Getting involved
in politics. Politics is not a child's game for sure, but what I would tell you, because this is an audience, our listeners on this show are women and girls, is if we ever hope to see change, if we ever hope to see women and girls treated differently in business and government and life, we have to play an active role. And so it's not easy and it's not fun to get involved in politics or policy or business even for that matter. Well, business can be fun. But it's so important that we play an active role, because if we don't, then someone else will. And so for me, it wasn't a matter of, I didn't want to jump in and write a bill. I just knew that there was a need and that nobody else was going to step up. And it's not easy. And in fact, as a pioneer, oftentimes you take arrows, and you take, ridicule and persecution, but that's because it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that was ever worth it was easy. And that's why it's important to get involved in politics and in business, to get involved in your community.
I definitely agree. And with a little bit of time that we do have left, do you want to stay with politics?
So I don't know that staying with politics is the right word for me. I think that I am always going to advocate for the underdog, whether that be in politics, in business, in investment, in finance. I'm not sure exactly where that's going to be needed, but I know that my calling in life is to fight for and advocate for the underdog. And so I think you'll continue to see me popping up in mm-hmm. different industries, in different areas of the world over the next many years. And sometimes that'll be in politics and sometimes it won't be.
Right. And I think that's fantastic. We have talked to a few women who have helped run some political platforms trying to get women more involved in politics and to attain those leadership positions. So I think it's important to know that you don't have to be a full-time politician to be able to stick up for what you think is right. And that's clearly what you're doing. So I think that's fantastic. We are going to go to our next break, though, and after the break, we are going to talk about your involvement with Women Investing in Women, which, of course, is very, very important to us on this show. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Daffy, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Remember to keep the conversation going at facebook.com/womeninvesting and on Twitter, womeninvest and #womeninvest. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls in our last section of our conversation with Candace Klein. And before we went to the break, we were talking about, Candace, your involvement in the Jobs Act and the different crowdfunding platforms that you have completed. Now I'd love to switch to a topic that our Women Investing in Women and Girls is very excited about, that your involvement with Women Investing in Women. So I would first love to know what drew you to the concept of Women Investing in Women.
Sure. So I have the pleasure of meeting the founder of Women Investing in Women, Anu Bhardwaj, in Phoenix a couple of years ago when she was first starting the Women Investing in Women initiative and movement. And I believe I was one of her first speakers at one of her first events for Women Investing in Women. And I was speaking on how to pitch and how to speak to investors and how to put your best foot forward as a female entrepreneur. And very quickly, Anu and I became fast friends. We clearly have similar missions based on what I had done with Bad Girl Ventures and creating an investment arm to invest in female entrepreneurs. So I, you know, I told her I wanted to be involved in any way I could. So I've assisted Anu in the expansion of the Women Investing in Women initiative into New York, into Stockholm, and now into San Diego.
Great. And what is your role in Women Investing in Women besides helping us expand?
Sure. So I've always been an advisor to the Women Investing in Women initiative, but I'm also serving now as general counsel for the organization, and that's both for the nonprofit and for the parent organization. So I'm trying to assist in making sure that we're taking the right path to affect the most people and crossing our T's and dotting our I's in the process.
Great. And how does this platform tie into your goals and involvements? You mentioned that you definitely put an emphasis on investing in women, but tie into the aspect of investing in girls as well.
Sure. So to answer that, I have to just give a very brief story about myself. So I grew up extremely poor. And when I was a young girl, I didn't have anything. I lived in a trailer with my mom, and I was very lucky because a woman named Alice Sparks invested in me. She paid for me to go to law school when I couldn't afford to go. And she was the first woman to ever invest in my future. And when I asked her, how can I ever repay you for this amazing gift? She said, find a way to invest in women. And so that is the reason that I care so deeply about this initiative, because I was once a young girl and someone invested in me. And I can tell you that women represent such an important segment of our economy today. Women represent 60% of all college graduates. We represent 51% of all privately held companies, yet we have access to less than 5% of capital. If we ever hope to be successful, we have to start young. And you know, the youngest bad girl that I ever invested in through Bad Girl Ventures was Rosie Dean. And Rosie Dean was a 9-year-old turkey farmer.
Wow.
She started her business in the 4th grade. And I think it is so valuable to be teaching young women very, very early in life that they can be an entrepreneur, that they are in charge of their own destinies, and that they should be taking charge of their hopes, dreams, and ambitions at a young age. It's never too young to start.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that, I mean, the younger you start, obviously, the more knowledge you'll be able to have, and that's just really improving our future in America and beyond, the way that the environment is for startups as well. But do you believe that investing is just financial, or can it be something more?
Oh, it's so much more. absolutely, invested. The financial portion of investing is extremely important. We need to take control of our money, and we need to know that we are responsible for our own security as we grow and mature. But investing in women and girls is so much more than giving them money. It's giving them support. It's giving them the encouragement they need. It's advising them, giving of your time, of your energy, of your resources. And you mentioned the importance of networking, bringing girls and women into a network so that they can be successful. Creating an ecosystem of support around women is about so much more than just money.
Right. Definitely. And I'd also like to bring the fact that you brought in Alice Sparks. That was your mentor. You are young, but you're very, very accomplished. So what is the importance of having a mentor in your life, like the one that you had when you were younger?
Well, so I will encourage any woman or girl listening to this show to start actively putting together your board of advisors for your personal life right now. I don't care how old you are. And what that means is, what are the things that I want to be when I grow up? What do I want to do when I grow up? And start looking for people who do those things successfully. Take them to lunch. My little sister, Jill, my baby sister, started when she was 5 years old. And she said, you know what, I'm going to take this person to lunch, and I'm going to ask them if they'll be my mentor. And she's already creating her board of advisors. She'll be successful in whatever she does in life.
Oh, wow.
And people genuinely want to help you be successful. They want to invest themselves in you, but you have to ask. And so with Alice Sparks, I was lucky enough, my boss, at the job I was working when I was in college, introduced me to Alice because he said, you know what, this woman cares about women in politics. At the time, my goal and ambition was to be in politics, and I asked her to be my mentor. That resulted in her spending $40,000 on my law school education.
Wow. And so
it's never a bad thing to ask for help, to ask for guidance, and eventually to ask for support from mentors.
Definitely. And do you have any tips for success for our listeners out there as well?
So I guess the first tip that I have is to write down your hopes, dreams, and ambitions. Fewer than 1% of the general public ever write down their goals. Fewer than 1% of those ever read them again after they write them down. But what I can tell you is that those who write down their goals are exponentially more likely to achieve them. I'd encourage you at whatever age you are listening today, just really start thinking about what your hopes, dreams, and ambitions are related to not just work, but finance, travel, family, community, character, and write them down. Then start building a board of advisors or someone who can be a mentor to you in each one of those goals. If you start that young, you're going to be very successful. The final tip I would offer is to get involved in investing early. So young girls should be asking their parents about setting up a bank account, setting up a savings account, starting to make small investments in the stock market. Take investing classes if they're offered to you at your school, economics classes if they're offered to you at your school. The only way that you're ever going to be successful in that space is to start studying it young.
Definitely. And I want to bring in a point that you mentioned is writing down your hopes, dreams, and aspirations. I feel like that kind of falls under the category of having a New Year's goal for the year. How do you write those hopes, dreams, and aspirations without them being a little too lofty and then you just end up scaring yourself?
So there's no such thing as a dream that's too lofty. It's just not possible. So, for instance, I will tell you that one of my dreams is to have Oprah as one of my advisors on my board of advisors, and that will happen someday. That is not too lofty. So if I can do that, you can write down whatever it is that your hopes, dreams, and ambitions are. What I would encourage you to do is keep this on a computer, if at all possible, so that you can revisit it and add to it over time, and so you can check things off as you accomplish them. It's great to categorize your life. Like I mentioned, not just professional, what your job should be, but think about professional and travel, financial, community, physical. Do you want to run a marathon? Put those dreams down in categories and then assign yourself a mentor. The reason that you're assigning yourself a mentor to each one of your goals and dreams is because then you are held accountable to that dream. so that that person is always going to be trying to help you accomplish that goal, and they're going to be asking you about it. You're more likely to accomplish your goals if you hold yourself accountable to them.
I love it. And that's some great advice for all of our listeners out there. I know that I'll be going home and making my own chart of hopes, dreams, and aspirations. Candace, thank you so much for being a part of our show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Michelle.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks to all of our listeners out there for listening as well. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, once again, and this show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. KidStar Radio, we empower kids, and we want to keep the conversation going. Remember to go to facebook.com/womeninvesting and on Twitter, womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Tune in next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar Album of the Month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this part of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brothers sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. You only try to scare me with all that junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking, oh, what a beautiful day.
The KidStar Album of the Month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.